So I'm going to share a few thoughts because they don't pay me to play the bass here. You know, when Lori and I were on vacation, one day we're sitting on the shade under a tree and this beautiful lawn. We're looking out at the beach, and it's just a glorious day. We decided to go for a swim in the ocean. And so we got up, headed for the water. Unfortunately, Lori was kind of distracted, wasn't watching where she was going. And there was this plumeria tree it was a beautiful tree, but had this big limb that stuck out. She walked right into that limb, just banged her head on it, and pretty hard, you know. And, you know, I thought, oh, my goodness, what have you done, you know, Lori? And so I went over and I checked to make sure she wasn't bleeding. She wasn't, but there was already a knot forming there. So I thought, you know what, you need to get some ice on that. So I went to the bar over by the pool in this hotel we were staying at, and then I told the bartender, could I get some ice, like in a bag or something? My wife banged her head. And I didn't want to go into specifics, because how do you explain that your wife walked into a tree, you know? But he asked, how did she bang her head? She wasn't watching where she was going. She banged her head on a tree, and a number of the bar patrons began chiming in on that particular comment. But the guy said, well, you know, we'll have to get security to bring some ice out. And so, okay, so a security guy comes out, and he has to take a report, make sure she's okay, you know, gave her an ice pack, you know, and then he said, I'll be right back. He went away for a few minutes. He came back, and he goes, yeah, you know what? We caught that on video on two cameras. Saw you walk right under the tree, you know. You know, there was some talk about, you know, that tree is kind of a hazard to navigation here. Maybe we should cut that down, you know. This is terrible. But anyway, the rest of our trip after that, you know, Lori and I were not afraid of trees, but we sort of were a little bit leery of them after that. It's like, watch out for that tree, you know, you never can tell. Ironically, the last day we were there, I missed banging my head on that limb by about 2 inches. Same limb. It was amazing. But now we're quite leery of trees. You know, they seem innocuous, but we found out they're kind of dangerous. We began referring to that tree as the killer tree. There's a lot of things in life that we can be a little leery of. The great news is, as we go through life, we don't have to be leery of anything. I want to just share a few thoughts from Joshua, the book of Joshua, the first chapter. You got those verses there? Okay, so it says this, God is speaking to Joshua. It says, be strong and courageous because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. So here's a passage that talks about being prosperous and successful everywhere we go. Here's the thing we need to know about the context of this. Joshua faced a daunting challenge. Israel had been led by Moses for decades, and Moses had been the greatest leader and prophet maybe in the Old Testament. He was amazing. God used him to work incredible miracles, do amazing things, lead the people out of slavery, and you know all of that. And then we've come to a place where Moses now has died, and Joshua is taking over the reins. Can you imagine the task of stepping into that situation where you're the successor to Moses? Furthermore, he's got to lead this people group that was notorious for their rebelliousness. They, you know, even under Moses, they kept saying, yeah, we think maybe we need somebody else, you know? And now Joshua's got to lead them, and he's got to lead them on a military campaign. They're not a trained army, and they've got to go on a military campaign, and they had already balked at this once before. You've got to go in there, and you've got to conquer the land of Canaan. Yeah, we don't think we can do that. The people that are there are too strong for us. And Joshua has got the challenge of leading this kind of difficult group after Moses on this military conquest. But there's a second thing we can see here. You know, as we think about that, I want you to think a little bit about what are the things that you might be leery of. You know, for Nate and Melissa, we're not sending them off to some, you know, mysterious dark place where, you know, one of the scary places in the world. They're going to Red Bluff. It's not that bad. But I remember when probably the first year or two that Nate and I had a conversation one time where he was talking about how much he loved youth ministry. And he said, I can't imagine ever leaving youth ministry. And I said, well, you know, there's probably going to come a time when you're going to feel, nah, that's never going to happen. He said, furthermore, I remember very specifically him saying, I look at what you have to do, Rick, you lead pastor, and all the stuff you have to deal with. And he says, I would not want to have to deal with that. Guess what? He's going to have to deal with that, you know? It's an unknown, and there's some difficult parts of it. It's a little challenging for him, and it's a new environment. And for all of us, we have things like that in our lives, don't we? You know, maybe it's raising kids, and you got to raise these kids in this environment. How in the world? You know, I see parents freaking out sometimes because of the challenge of that. Or I see young people today afraid of the commitment of marriage. I see a lot of believers kind of leery of actually standing for Christ in our increasingly hostile environment. You know, it's especially true when we realize, man, you know what? There are people out there who know so much more, have so much more than we do. 2 weeks ago, we were at Toby's graduation from medical school. I sat there during that ceremony thinking, these people are way smarter than I am. You know, I looked at, they had this, the program had some of the projects that some of these people had done. Listen to the titles of some of them. One of them was Astrocyte Activity Modulated by S1P Signaling and Multiple Sclerosis Model. What? Here's another one. The Molecular Mechanism of MAP4K3 Mediated Autophagy Induction. I understood the word and out of that, you know. And like, we're going to tell these people we know the truth and they don't? That's a little frightening, isn't it? Here's the great news. In the face of all these daunting challenges, along with Joshua is commanded to be strong and courageous, and so are we. God says, here's what I want you to do as you face life and all of its challenges. I want you to be strong and courageous. You know, he says it twice, verse 7, be strong and courageous. Then in verse 9, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Well, yeah, you did command that, but, you know, we kind of have a tendency to say, yeah, the problem with that is I'm not. You know, be strong, be courageous. Yeah, I'm not that strong. I'm not that courageous. You know, we kind of think courage and strength is something that happens to us. But I want you to notice what God said. Have I not commanded you? Well, yeah, you did. What does that mean? You know what? You can't command someone to do something that they have no control over. God, it wouldn't do any good to command me to be 6'2" tall. I've been trying all my life, Lord. I don't have it. The fact that God commands it means we have a choice. We can choose to be strong and courageous or choose not to be. The thing that God is not saying is, well, don't ever feel fearful. Don't ever feel intimidated. Doesn't say that. The thing is that courage is something that only exists in the context of fear. It doesn't require any courage for me to make up my bed in the morning. I'm not afraid of my bed. I'm not intimidated by making it up. I don't have to have any courage to do that. You only have to have courage when there's something that you're afraid of. And what courage is saying, I see the intimidating thing, it's scary, I'm afraid of it, and I'm going to do it anyway. That's courage. And that's exactly what God calls us to. It isn't just Joshua. 1 Corinthians 16:13, Paul wrote to all Christians, be on your guard, stand firm in the faith, be courageous, be strong. The ancient church leader Tertullian said in the second century, the Lord wants those who belong to him to be brave and fearless. You ever think of yourself like that? That is what God is calling the Smith family to as they go to this new place. And that's what God is calling all of us to face every day of our lives with courage. Say, yeah, there might be some fearful things, but I'm going to do it anyway. You know, one of the hard things about that is that as we get older, that becomes more difficult. Actually, there's an interesting thing that our brains aren't actually fully developed until we're 25 years old, especially young, men. Your brain doesn't fully develop until you're about 25. And the last part of it that develops is the part that has to do with judgment, which is why young men do such dumb things, you know, because they don't think they're ever going to get hurt, you know. I can do anything. I'm invincible, you know. And somewhere in the mid to late 20s, they suddenly go, oh, no, I'm not. I could get hurt here. Whoa, let's think about this now. The problem is, as we get older, we tend to get more and more cautious, more and more fearful. There's more to lose, we think. Pastor and writer Francis Chan was asked why he spends so much time ministering to young people, and he says, because they still believe that God can do anything and they live like it. Yeah. I love the story of Caleb. You know, Caleb, when Israel was poised on the land, on the border of the land of Canaan the first time, they sent in spies, 12 guys. They said, land looks great. People are scary. They're too strong. They're too powerful. They're too militant, too well-trained. We can't defeat them. But two guys said, that is not true. Yeah, they're strong. Yeah, they're bigger than we are. Yeah, they're stronger than we are. But we've got God on our side. Joshua was one of them. Caleb was the other. The thing I love about Caleb, 45 years later, Joshua 14:11, Caleb says this. He's now 85 years old, and he says, I am still as strong today as the day Moses sent me out. I am just as vigorous to go out to battle now as I was then. Don't you think you'd love to be like that? At 85 years old saying, let me at him. Where's the battle? I'm ready to go. You know, most of us think 85, where's the bed? You know, I want to... Time to just give me the clicker for the TV. I'm good, you know. Isn't that really what we want? Be strong, courageous, even in your old age. That's what we all want. But how do you have that? Well, here's the great news. Joshua had reason to be courageous, and so do we. Where do we get the courage? When God says, haven't I commanded you to be strong and courageous? Yeah, where do you get that? He tells us. Crucial word in that verse, in verse 9. Be strong, courageous, do not be afraid, do not be discouraged. For, that word for is crucial. It's telling you this is why. Because the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. For Nate and Melissa, as they go, God's going to go with them so they can go with courage. Their kids are being cruelly yanked out of their high school, right? Yeah, do I get an amen from the congregation? Amen, all right. Yeah. You know what? God will go with you wherever you go. God is going to be there for you guys. For us as a church, we're saying, oh no, what next? You know what? God will go with us. We can face whatever it is with courage because God is going to be with us. Back in Numbers 14:9, recalling that day when they failed before, Joshua had said then, do not rebel against the Lord. Do not be afraid of the people of the land, because we will devour them. Their protection is gone, but the Lord is with us. Don't be afraid of them. And that's a great message for all of us, isn't it? Don't be afraid of them. God goes with us. Courage is going to come from one idea. God will come through. To the degree that we believe God will come through for us, we can be courageous. I don't have to fear. God's here, and God's going to come through. A couple of weeks ago, I was talking to Nate about how things are working out amazingly for them. It would be, you guys should ask him about all the details that happened, that some of the things fall into place where I just think, that never happens. But it's happened for them in their new place. But Nate made an interesting comment as he was talking about this. He said, you know, I was getting kind of uptight about some of these things, and God has worked. And he said, you know, I just wish that I had more faith. I just wish that I would get in these situations and not fret, because I know God is there in the midst of it. And I thought, yeah, you know, that's a really good message, because I was thinking the same thing about, what are we going to do without this? Oh, yeah, God's here. Oh, right. Okay. Thanks, Nate. Appreciate that. We're good. I love the story John Ortberg told about in his book, If You Want to Walk on Water, You Got to Get Out of the Boat. He and a couple of friends were walking down a street in Newport Beach when out just a little ways ahead of them, a fight spilled out of a bar onto the sidewalk. So they're walking down the street. All of a sudden, these four guys come tumbling out, and three of them are just pounding this one guy. They're just beating the pulp out of him. And Ortberg wrote, I've not had much experience with this sort of thing. I missed the day in my seminary class when they covered how to break up barroom brawls. Breaking up brawls is not a strong area of spiritual passion or competence for me. But he said they had to do something, so he said he spoke prophetically to the three men and prepared himself for his first fist fight since he'd been on a deacon board, he said. So he said, you know, you stop this, and he was shocked when the three men turned and looked at him, and all of a sudden their eyes got big, and they stopped and just began walking away and sort of began slinking off down the street. Okay, huh? And then he turned around, and behind him was a guy that looked like that guy. It was the bouncer from the bar, and he said, this guy, 6'7" tall, well over 250 pounds, probably a total of 2% body fat. He said the guy had muscles on his muscles. And he said he didn't have to say a thing. He just, it was one of those guys who thought, oh, this guy's area of competence is breaking up brawls, you know. He just came out there, and those guys saw him, and they just took off running. He said he and his friends after that began thinking of this guy as Mongo. They gave him a name. They said they didn't call him that to his name, his face. But he said, you know, because Mongo was there, his attitude was transformed. He said those guys took off, and he shouted, that's right. Run away, and I better not catch you back here ever again, you know. All of a sudden, his whole attitude was transformed. He said he was a different person because Mongo had passed by. He'd had a Mongoophany. He said Mongo's presence filled him with confidence. The point is, our God is way bigger than Mongo. And way more powerful than Mongo. And he passes by everywhere we go. And so we should be different people. We should be filled with confidence. Yeah, we'll face some things we might be leery of. We'll face some frightening things. But we can be strong and courageous because our God is with us and will never leave us. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the fact that you are with us everywhere we go, and that we need never fear, but we can always have confidence, because not because we're smarter, stronger, more numerous than anybody else, but simply because you are with us, and your power is greater than any force we might face. So, Father, as the Smith family transitions to a new place of ministry, we pray that you will give them that confidence because you are with them. We pray that you will enable them to be strong and courageous in all that they do. And we pray that you will make them indeed successful and prosperous in their ministry and their lives. And Father, for those of us here at the Anchor who will miss them and are concerned about what's the future going to be for us, help us to remember that you will go with us and that we can be confident because you are there and you will make us succeed as you choose for us to succeed, and we can be at peace with wherever you take us. We thank you, Father, and we praise you because you will never leave us or forsake us. We pray these things in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen.